was also conflicted just because I was like, are we really going to go talk to these legislators about bike stuff when it feels like the world is exploding? Is this meaningful? Well, as it turns out, it was.
What award did you get,
Marla? Oh my God. I got the Susie Stevens Award for Joyful Enthusiasm.
It's perfection. When you told me the name of it, I was like, there's no way that goes to anyone but you.
I think that was my takeaway, was just the impact All Bodies on Bikes is having is much bigger than I think I realized or ever dreamed about.
Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a radically inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see.
Come along for the ride.
You got smarter at Bike Summit.
Well, a little bit. Yeah, I learned some new things.
Nope. What'd you learn? Should I put my earrings on now or just leave them for continuity?
Your earrings?
Yeah, look at these bad boys.
They're pretty. I have no earrings, no makeup. I got nothing on today.
I was going to put makeup on and then I didn't.
No, you look great.
Podcast, folks.
Yeah.
Thank you. I did shower today.
Oh, I did not.
I do feel like one of the segments we should just have on this podcast is sound off. Who showered today? I don't know. I feel like other podcasts have like, here's the segment we have every time.
Oh, yeah. We should do one.
Okay. Well, did you shower today?
No. Did you?
Yes. The end. Have a great podcast life, everybody.
I showered yesterday afternoon before my date. So I'm not that gross.
Yeah, you're not 24 hours out yet at that point.
No.
Okay.
No.
That counts.
Yeah. But I'm dog sitting tonight at somebody else's house. So I might shower. If we hang out again, we're supposed to hang out again tonight. And I'm probably going to go looking just like this because I don't want to get fancy. So
I think that dating as your most authentic self from the very beginning is the way to go.
I agree. On our very first date, I told them that I want to be a clown when I grow up. And I was like, I can't believe I'm telling you this right now.
You know,
when you just like have a connection with somebody and you're like, I can't bullshit with you. Like, I'm just going to be real honest.
So, yes. Yeah. That's exciting.
It is exciting.
First things I knew about my husband is like, I don't feel the need to perform for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not masking right now. And this feels really good.
Ooh. To be continued.
To be continued. Also, he's a chef, which is awesome and intimidating.
That was the first time you used a pronoun. I wasn't sure if we were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a cisgendered man, unfortunately.
Damn it.
I know.
I am truly sometimes sorry about that.
But seems like a good one. I don't know. I mean, you never really know, right?
Don't know until you do know, I guess.
Anyway. So I just got back from the National Bike Summit.
Yes.
In Washington, D.C.
You had a heck of a summit.
I did have a heck of a summit. So the summit is put on by the League of American Bicyclists. They are one of the oldest and I think the largest advocacy orgs in the U.S. And they have a pretty interesting kind of storied history. They started as the League of American Wheelmen back in the 1900s. They excluded women. They excluded people of color, specifically Black people. All of that has been fixed now. I mean, not everything, but they're
a good example of when you know better, you do better.
Exactly. And I was remarkably pleased with the diversity of attendees at the summit. There was a huge delegation from Black Girls Do Bike and from Major Taylor and Latinas and BCs. And I think a lot of times in bike advocacy especially, it can feel like kind of the old white man's club. But it didn't this time, and it was quite refreshing. Yeah. So I guess there were a couple hundred people there, a lot of policymakers, lots of elected officials, people involved in their local bike organizations, mostly policy people, because a big part of the summit is lobby day. So we actually spent an entire day on Capitol Hill. And I'm trying to make some content about this because it was genuinely my favorite part of the weekend. It wasn't a weekend. I keep calling it a weekend. It was like a Tuesday through Thursday. But I almost skipped lobby day. I was like, I'm in DC. I want to go to the Smithsonian. I want to go to the museums. Like, I don't want to go to lobby day.
You should go to a lobby. I've gone to my first lobby day this year too.
Yeah, and it was cool. But I was also conflicted just because I was like, are we really going to go talk to these legislators about bike stuff when it feels like the world is exploding? And so that's what I was conflicted about. I was like, is this meaningful? Well, as it turns out, it was. The League of American Bicyclists put together these packets for us with three specific asks for our congresspeople. And it was really meaningful stuff. So it was things like renewing funding for the Safe Streets for All Act, which covers safe routes to school, vulnerable road user law, lots of things that make cycling and walking in our communities safer, and the things that actually matter to people riding their bike and walking. So that felt really cool. I also realized that I kind of like lobbying on Capitol Hill.
It's kind of addictive, right? I was surprised too.
Yeah.
If anyone has not been to a lobby day, I'll just give a real quick like overview of what that looks like. So the way that it worked for me, I went with a group of education advocates here in Missouri to our state capitol. And these in-person meetings with legislators are really impactful. And it helps them actually hear from the people in their towns. You get to be the squeaky wheel for 15 minutes, which the squeaky wheel gets the grease. This is like more pun intended than I intended, but it can truly be how needles move.
In
the current climate that we're in too.
Yeah. So I was with the Oregon delegation and we met with all six of the representatives from Oregon State. And because they were actually in legislative session that day, we met with mostly their legislative aides or like chief of staff. But as I learned, like, even though we're talking to these, they felt like kids, you know, like these 25, 30 year olds, they're the ones who are doing the research and crafting the policy that the legislators then take to the floor. And so it was really cool to say, well, I guess backing up, the league prepared us incredibly well. So for each of these packets, we had fact sheets that were specifically relevant to the representative we were talking to. So, you know, when we were talking to the rep from Eastern Oregon, I was able to pull out the sheet and say, from 2022 to 2025, here's the exact grant dollars that were allocated under the Safe Routes to School in your district. Here's the exact intersections it impacted. And so they could then say, oh, okay, yeah, I know exactly where that's at. Or, oh yeah, that is a really dangerous intersection. I'm so glad that got fixed. So it felt really meaningful and really, really cool. And I hope that, I mean, in addition to that, we were able to introduce ourselves. So I was able to talk to them about All Bodies on Bikes and tell them about my book that's coming out. So my hope is that, or I guess the overall hope is that when this transportation renewal package comes up, which it should this session, they might just, everything's a mess in DC right now. So timing, who knows what's going to happen with it. But the hope is that, you know, the legislative aide will put together a thing and they say, oh yeah, remember we talked to those crazy cyclists
that
were really nice. And this is important because of XYZ. And it's not just like, okay, yeah, it's fine if that gets eliminated. It's like, no, this actually does impact our real constituents.
Yes. And that is another important thing about Lobby Day is the face-to-face is what the legislative aide or the legislator can remember that conversation because it happened in person. It wasn't an email or a phone call. It was, you know, look into my eyes and hear my story.
Exactly.
And that then allows them to have the anecdote plus the data. And it's like the magic combo.
Hey, Ellen, quick pause on the thing we're actually talking about to talk about something that's really, really important. Did you know that All Bodies on Bikes podcast is actually part of the All Bodies on Bikes nonprofit?
Are you saying that everything we do is about making the cycling world more inclusive and more welcoming for everybody?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And one of the best ways to support that work is by becoming a member. We have individual memberships. We've got bike shop memberships. We've got industry memberships. We've got it all.
Any membership helps fund inclusive events, education, and advocacy, and it keeps this podcast going. Plus, members get some pretty great perks like exclusive swag, industry discounts, and more.
So if this community means something to you, which we really hope it does, we would love to have you join us as members.
You can learn more and you can join us at allbodiesonbikes.com. And now back to the episode. What were we even saying?
Yeah. So long story short, it was really, really cool. I'm glad I didn't skip it. It was also just cool because like we were in the House buildings, so we got to see like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's office. Like, we didn't get to go in, but on the outside of her office, she just has like thousands of post-it notes from people who have come by to offer words of encouragement. You know, on the other side, there's also so many Charlie Kirk posters, like outside of so many offices. It was just like a little dystopian. But I'm happy to say, like, all the Oregon reps all had either a trans pride flag or like the rainbow progressive pride flag. A couple of them had tribal flags from the tribes who are on the land that the representative is on. And so I felt good talking to all of our reps. Also, really cool thing about Oregon. So 5 of the 6 are women. 5 of the 6 are Democrats. But
I mean, that's so exciting for you.
Oregon's amazing. But even the like right wing Republican man, his staff, they were nice, and they seemed to not be against the things we were talking to them about. So
that does help me. That helps you feel encouraged to do it again, and it does help you feel more connected that way. What I really liked is that you also see that these are just humans who are legislating things. Yes, they've probably gone to school, they've got training that helps them do this, but it's a human to human connection.
Yeah.
So it can be very encouraging, and to your point, it can be a bit abrupt, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word. It can be very eye-opening to then come face to face with someone who, yeah, has a Charlie Kirk poster up in their on their wall.
Yeah.
And talk to them and see that this is still a human. How do we come to the middle? How do we figure out how to talk to you?
Thankfully, none of the Oregon folks had Charlie Kirk signs. But there was just some wild propaganda on the walls, and I was like, how is this allowed? And I was like, oh yeah, there's no rules anymore.
There are no rules right now.
There's no rules.
But there was, it's part of the solution. It's part of the solution is to start talking to people who don't believe in the same things we do.
Oh, 100%.
But it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that was really cool is, so I haven't had to wear business clothes since 2020. You know, I quit my corporate job and I live in athleisure and bike clothes. But about a week before the conference, and I was like, oh crap, like I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. Like, D.C. is a formal place. Yeah. Like, it is business suits and business suits and more business suits. And so I went to Wild Fang, had this, we'll have to put a picture up, but this amazing like floral blazer that I probably got like 50 compliments on from like random people. It was awesome.
Yeah. I saw that blazer on your Instagram. It was very cute.
Thank you.
Very joyful.
Yes.
Which I think leads very well into, what award did you get,
Marley? Oh my God. It still feels so like surreal to me. I got the Susie Stevens Award for Joyful Enthusiasm.
Perfect. It's perfection. It, like, when you told me the name of it, I was like, that there's no way that goes to anyone but you. Because this is the first year, right? For this award?
No, it's happened before.
Yeah, it's gotta be you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who nominated me, so thank you to whoever nominated me. But yeah, it was funny. So we're at the League of American Bicyclists, and it's Friday. It's the first night, and we're having the awards reception. And I had no idea how big of an honor this was. I had gotten an email about a week before just saying, FYI, you've received an award for joyful enthusiasm. Be prepared to give remarks for 30 to 60 seconds. I was like, okay, I can do that, you know? And so I don't really prepare speeches for anything.
Nah.
But we got there, and there's all these awards being given out. There's like Bicycle Club of the Year and Youth Advocate of the Year, just like all these different things. And the recipients are getting up there and giving like 1.5, 2-minute long acceptance speeches. And they like have them written out. And aww. I'm just like, oh crap. I didn't go into it completely unprepared. I had, you know, 3 or 4 bullet points of what I wanted to talk about. And the crux of it was really, you know, joy is resistance. And that in these times when we are fighting to protect our neighbors and, you know, living in times of uncertainty, to continue that fight, you have to fill up your own cup. And riding bikes is a great way, I think, you know, for all of us that were in the room to do that and to find joy, and that it's not selfish to find joy in cycling. So yeah, I won an award for joyful enthusiasm.
Congratulations. And the thing that also keeps popping in my head is how cycling can solve so many issues. Like, this is where my passion for cycling comes into play, is like, I feel like I think we maybe even played this the first time that you and I hosted a podcast together. It was like, I can connect anything back to where if we all just had bikes, we would not have this problem. Like, education, equity, mobility, climate change, all of this connects back. So I'm really glad that you got to go to the Bike Summit, be part of all of that kind of connecting back to that central hub.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then another part of the summit, so All Bodies on Bikes, got a grant last year from the league called a Spark Grant for our size inclusion retailer training. So nice. This is something we put together to help bike retailers be better to customers of all sizes. And so we presented on that. And it was a really great session, had some really great conversations. And it's really funny because then this week I have started a new job working in a bike shop and have gotten to like put into practice these things that I'm teaching about, which feel really good. It's fun.
Yeah. So how did that go over?
The session was received really, really well. Great conversations. People were really engaged. The feedback is often, I thought I knew what size inclusion looked like, and the presentation really opened my eyes to so many more elements of it. So, you know, in the retailer presentation, there's like three elements of it. We talk about equipment. Because at a bike shop, you need to know weight limits. You need to know what modifications could be made for bigger bodies or to make people more comfortable. So there's like the technical side of things. We talk about like cultural competence a lot. So we talk about marketing. We talk about communication. We talk about words to use, words not to use, how to talk to somebody about, hey, how much do you weigh so I can set up your suspension correctly, which can be a really awkward conversation to have. So we talk through all of that. And then the third part is we make them role play. We have these different, we have like laminated scenario cards where nice. It walks you through different scenarios and we make them practice. It's a whole lot easier to practice in a space like that where it's okay to mess up than to, you know, be on your shop floor and totally humiliate yourself or somebody else.
The more you say these words out loud, not in your head, the more you're ready to say them in the real world.
Oh, 100%.
It just gets you over the like anxiety of saying it for the first time, of getting that hesitation out. If it's like, hi, I need to know your, do you mind?
Yeah, exactly.
Versus like, hey, I need to know how much you weigh because I need to know, because safety.
Yeah. And like, if you don't want to say it out loud, like, here, write it on this piece of paper. I'll rip it up as soon as you're done. You know, it's so just offering solutions like that. And people come out of there and just say, wow, I feel a lot better prepared, a lot more informed, and just knowing that there's resources out there, because it's body size just isn't a topic we talk about much.
No. What I love is in the Shimano film, the new one, at the very beginning, it's you and Kaylee, and she's like, she felt like she had to come out as fat to her family. She's like, surprise. I will giggle at that every time. But it's so true.
It's so true.
Like, my husband and I joke that we had to come out to our family as urban. It's like, not that anybody didn't know, but like, we weren't talking about it either. Yeah. And so figuring out how to say that in a way that's just like, oh, this is just something that's okay to talk about now.
Exactly. It's
everything out in the open. So I love that you were doing that training. Can anybody do that training now?
In theory, if there's a bike shop that's super interested in it, we can make it happen. It is a paid training because it takes time and resources. It's not exorbitantly expensive or anything. But if you're listening to this and think, dang, I work at a shop and this could be really helpful, reach out. Ideally, what we'd love to do is make this into a virtual training. So record some content and then incorporate it into all of what I'm learning about the bike industry. Is there are all of these training modules already. So Shimano has a training program, SRAM has a training program, and they're all online. And so if we could partner with a company to get it as one of their modules, it would be an amazing way to reach so many more people. So I think those are the conversations we're moving towards to really scale this information.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
It's a semblance of a plan.
It's a semblance of a plan.
Do you remember when our great leader in chief said that? It was one of his speeches, and he just said, we have a semblance of a plan.
It was during a debate, I think. And oh, it was one of those moments where suddenly a lot of women ran for office.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey.
I think my biggest takeaway from going to the bike summit was seeing our impact on a national scale. So in addition to getting the award and doing lobby day, they also showed our film as part of the closing session, which was really, really cool. And, you know, as we were just talking about, the joy of cycling really resonates across whatever type of work you're doing in the bike world. So yeah, I think that was my takeaway, was just the impact All Bodies on Bikes is having is much bigger than I think I realized or ever dreamed about.
It is nice to kind of take that step back, pull back, and have a bigger reflection and see like all the pieces that you have been doing come together to actually have a bigger impact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Congrats on your award. Congrats on everything that All Bodies on Bikes has been doing. It's always fun for me to see this too. So yay.
Yay.
I guess I'll see you later. How are we still so bad at wrapping up after?
I don't know.
What are you looking forward to in the next 3 weeks?
Oh.
Other than your makeout sessions.
Well, hopefully some really great makeout sessions. But my book comes out in 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. In Yay. 2 weeks, the Ragtag Best Friends Bicycle Club will be out to the world. And I am so, so, so excited. Also, I have a new collection with Shredly coming out this year. The manatees are retiring back to the sea, where we love them. But now it's still the Marley Blonsky Shredly collection, but it's ice cream and it's a gravel specific collection. So,
oh, very cool. When does that drop?
At Sea Otter. So same day as my book.
Which is?
April 15th.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I got confused because that's also tax day. So anybody listening?
Fuck, I still have my taxes.
Oh, Marley, go do your taxes.
Do you know how hard my taxes are? Oh,
well, I don't know how hard yours are. I know mine are, we've been working on ours for like 3 weeks. But go do your taxes.
Also,
don't.
I ran out of Ritalin, so I feel like I can't do anything.
Already?
He only he only gave me a 14-day prescription, and I didn't do the math that my appointment isn't until the 4th. I'm like, why? Anyway, so I'm raw dogging it again, and it's really hard.
I feel like you like got a taste of freedom, and now you're back to scattered.
What are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to, I actually am going to do my very first train and bike trip.
Ooh, where are you going? Tell me about it.
I'm going to St. Louis. So there's a train that runs like once a day from Kansas City to St. Louis. And I hate driving. And I'm going on my own. And so it was a choice between, especially with gas prices, what they are now, it's like drive 4 hours or take the train and my bike. And it'll be like a 20-minute ride around in like St. Louis to get like from the train station to my Airbnb and around where I need to be.
That's perfect.
So I am excited. I would like to have a podcast episode about how it all goes because I'm taking my e-bike.
Ooh,
so
okay.
The first time I'm traveling with the e-bike, doing the train plus bike, I have to like pack into panniers. I'm not going to take like,
that's a suitcase.
I don't have a car. Yeah, I don't have a suitcase to take. Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
To hear about your adventure. I haven't taken the train on a bike in a long time. And I know the services kind of vary depending on which Amtrak line you're on. So I'll be curious to hear your after report.
Thank you. Me too. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome. Well, safe travels.
Bye.
Bye. Today's episode of the All Bodies on Bikes podcast is brought to you by BikeTiresDirect.com with a huge selection of inventory from tires to clothing, hydration, nutrition, basically anything you need for cycling. BikeTiresDirect.com is your go-to. Use the code ALLBODS, that's ALLBODS, all capital letters, for a 10% discount. And 6% of that comes back to All Bodies on Bikes. So you're getting a discount and the organization is getting supported. Thank you so much to Bike Tires Direct for your support.